Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio. Today we present Sikh School of Ministry and living. Today's topic is living authentic lives. And here is Dr. Shirley.
Hi, that was my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. I think sometimes he doesn't know what to say, but Jeff, if it's just like a regular phone conversation. But we are going to talk about Sikh International Leadership School of Ministry. And to those who have already registered on our free online school, you will be able to, part of the curriculum will be, you're going to do your own radio broadcast. So, you know, it's going to feel like something new, but it's all done from the phone, so it shouldn't feel too strange. But anyways, we'll talk about that more later on as the show progresses. So I just wanted to tell everybody, welcome everyone to Faith Talks. Well, we do Faith Talks Live Prayer, but not today. This is going to be a special here, and we're looking at, we're actually at August 2nd. We're Sunday, August 2nd. And it's approximately 8:43 a.m. And I just want to say happy Sunday, happy holy day. We want to talk to people more about Sikh International Leadership School of Ministry, the four phases of ministry development, and how it's so important for us to live authentic Christian lives. Okay, let's just face it, folks. If we're in the public eye all the time, whether it be on radio venue or on television venue or being a public speaker at conferences or house churches or prayer groups, we represent the body of Christ and all that entails in our character development and our transformation. And I know there's a big hang up on foreign leaders, out there. And we really should all be all about following the lead of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the true leader. And I just, before we go on any further, I just want to dedicate this broadcast to the Holy Spirit. So let's go. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come, Creator Spirit. Visit the minds of those who are yours, of our fellow listeners and friends from Facebook and YouTube, and wherever, even Blog Talk Radio. Fill us with your heavenly grace, the hearts that you have made. You who are named the Paraclete, the gift of God Most High, living fountain, fire, love, and anointing for the soul. You, my Lord, are the sevenfold in your gift. These are your attributes. You are the finger of God's right hand. You, the Father's solemn promise, putting words upon our lips. Kindle a light within our senses. Pour your love more, ever more, so deeply within our hearts. Because without your love, we can do nothing, Lord. Infirmities of this body of ours, overcome and strength to cure. Take those all away from us. Be our security. The enemy drive from us away. Peace then give without delay. With you as guide to lead the way, we avoid all causes of harm because you are our comforter. Grant we may know the Father through you and come to know the Son as well. And may we always cling in faith to you, the spirit of them, both now and forever, in the spirit of truth. Amen and amen. And what I had done was I had taken a prayer that was a prayer of the church, and it was in Latin, Veni Creator, Creator Spirit. And there was a Latin component to this. But I had prayed in English. And I had also put in some words that were from my heart, so it can be more appropriate to you, the listener. So, amen. And I guess that's God's love in action, hey? So anyways, we are going to talk more about this wonderful adventure called Seek International Leadership School and Ministry. And before I go on any further, I'm just going to give this the mic back to my husband and just let, he's going to talk to you about his experience in the school of ministry, because what happened was this school of ministry has been in existence, not in theory, it's been in existence since the late 90s, and Seek Christian Outreach Ministries, which was formerly Seek Incorporated, had been in existence since 1984, and it was a prison ministry given to us as a gift in 1999 from my spiritual, one of my spiritual advisors in outreach, Father Joe McDermott, a healing charismatic priest here in the town of Stoughton. For years, he's had a prison ministry to the prisoners. and then he ventured out to the larger community in the body of Christ in the Catholic Church, and also does go to different denominations as well when they ask him. So so that's what the nature of our ministry is all about. That's why, you know, there's already a charism, a gift, and an anointing of the Holy Spirit because of the early foundations of the ministry to reach out to the larger body, because we are all one family. We are all God's family in the body of Christ, but different functions and different purposes. So, but it all goes towards bringing one closer to the Lord. And so anyways, so that's the origin of Seek Inc. And then when we got a hold of it, we prayed. We got our board of directors together and prayed and, you know, and sought the Lord as to where he wants us to go. And we began to see different things in the Holy Spirit, and it was something that, though it was like a reminder to me because of what the Lord had put in my heart even years before we even thought of receiving a ministry such as Seek. You know, that the Lord was saying he wanted me, to, you know, get people together, and he would put the appointed people in my path at the time, you know, at the time in which he would release this ministry. But he gave me the mission and vision of the ministry before it actually, before I actually was able to present it to those who the Lord would call to begin and extend the ministry of Seek. So, anyways, it came about through lots of prayer, through lots of fasting, and I began to see this ministry that had a teaching component, and then I saw various outreaches given birth, you know, being birthed as people were coming forward and being taught of the Lord and going out. And I remember the Holy Spirit just showing me, you know, that he's going to, as he's my teacher, he's going to be their teacher. So he had to bring me through his school, and then eventually I was led through by the Holy Spirit to go to different places to receive the training that I would need to do the ministry that he's called me to do. And a lot of this had to do with inner transformation. So there's, you know, that's such a theme in our school that, you know, in order to release people to ministry, ministry needs to be formed in them, and the only person that can form the ministry within them is the Holy Spirit, who's the third person of the Trinity. He's a teacher, he's a comforter, he's everything that Jesus dreamed the Holy Spirit to be. I say dream, I don't use that term lightly, but, you know, what we're going through now here on this earth as the body of Christ, and, what's going on in individual lives at this point in salvation history, it's things, believe it or not, with all the spiritual warfare here that we're dealing with, it's the Father that's dreamed this in us. He thought we were like, you know, the Father's happy thought before the foundations of the earth were laid. So, you know, this is all part of our destiny. You know, this is all part of our heritage. And it was the Father's goodwill that he would send us the Holy Spirit through Jesus, his Son, and our Lord and Savior, our brother and Lord and Savior. So so that's why I say dream this within us, because it's part of our destiny, you know, as we're in this journey called life. So so that became the basis for further development, and then I began to see a media component, which included radio and television. But at that time, they didn't have the social media that they have now on the internet. At that point, I didn't even know what internet meant. Never mind the you know, the call letters of www dot whatever whatever whatever. At that time, that's how I thought about it when I first heard about internet addresses. I'm like, street address is good enough. That's where I was with the addresses. I was at that point when .com, you know, the .com address was becoming more popular. I'm like, I'm just more content with just remembering people's phone numbers. So that's where I was with that. I was very ignorant when it came to things on the internet. So it never even dawned on me, you know, dawned on me that we were going to be doing internet radio from our home studio office, talking to you, you know, on the phone on Block Talk Radio. It was not conceivable. It wasn't conceivable about YouTube either. At that point, you know, I took matters in my own hand. I went down to cable and learned about public access television. But, you know, the Lord had a surprise waiting for me 9 years later. But he just wanted me to understand about television production and, you know how we would operate a camera, and so we can get good quality production. And we're still working on that. We haven't arrived all the way, but we would need to do a studio upgrade. But that's for, you know, prayer. So, anyways, and that's part of the school of ministry prayer, turning out top-notch intercessors who can, you know, really, really connect to themselves. When I say connect to themselves, do self-introspection to see where they are and to, you know, have that relationship with Jesus so that they could always go to Jesus for everything, you know, that they would need. You know, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, works with us to perfect our ways, not, you know, for self-perfection, but more like letting the Holy Spirit perfect us. And bring us into that place that Jesus wants us to be, and bring us to that place where we can finally put on Christ and walk in that new creation with all the new creation promises that the Lord called us to be, and to walk that out in ministry. So what happened was the Lord had put in my heart a process, a ministry development process, and he showed me that, you know, He allowed me to look at within my life, because coming from the Catholic background and having been in some kind of state of, you know, matrimony, because I did have kids before the Lord put my husband, the real husband, in my path. I was broken. I was, there's a lot of things that I had to go through. I had to walk through so I can help others get out of these situations. But I didn't really order this for myself. I always felt that I was always getting the short end of the stick many a times, but the Lord just kept, you know, telling me, look, you know, there's a reason for this, and he would also call people to call me, you know, wake them up to call me and tell me these things, you know, over the years. I had many spiritual mothers and fathers mentoring me through my difficult times, and I thank God for every single one of them, because they blessed me so much and just assisted me, you know, on the straight and narrow path. So anyways, so the Lord, you know, had me at times write in my review of my life, not say a lot, but reviewing, you know, the times that, you know, I totally ignored him. He didn't ignore me, I ignored him. And then the times that, you know, I decided to, all right, Lord, you know, come into the situation, and then the fruits of it, the victories, and it was each situation was a learning process and a stepping stone to the next situation. And it seemed like at each point of these individual experiences that led me closer to the Lord through adversity and suffering, that there was always a lesson learned. And it was, these were such significant lessons. I wrote them down because I knew at one point I was going to have to do my annulment. And that's the church's way of saying the marriage was invalid because, you know, because certain biblical procedures weren't in place that would be, you know, that would be there to, you know, to make, allow me to make an informed consent, an informed consent of my will to the situation. I didn't have all my faculties there because of the different things that I had to go through in my life, the things that, you know, were related to abuse and different things like that. So I had to really walk through the jungle before I saw the light, so to speak, and I had to take the Lord by the hand. But in that process, what began to unfold was a ministry development, four-phase process. And, you know, as I went through the inner healings and as I went to the different places where, you know, the Lord was making himself known, like in Toronto. And in one season, Father Tom DiLorenzo, now we're in another season, the Charismatic Renewal Movement and different things like that, the Lord began to, you know, shape four phases that one must go through if they want to be, you know, authentic, genuine leaders in the faith. And when I say leaders, I don't mean leaders on a pedestal. I mean, you know, leaders that know when, know the weakness of their humanity without Jesus, and with Jesus, you know, they could do all things kind of leader. So, so you know, we had the phase one, which we're going to be doing now. It's that in October 4th through December 7th, and that will be emphasized in a transformation process, and you know, taking a person through that, and do through it thoroughly in the Holy Ghost, and then the second part of that. Of the phase one phase would be establishing a biblical identity. So, and then I think phase two is more like, you know, once you've established, you know, a biblical identity and ask of the Lord what is the personal mission and vision of you, okay, in him, he begins to unfold that and give you your purpose, and then the difference between a personalized purpose is that a ministry to the greater body of Christ is that you take your own personal mission and vision, you know, and you know, plus God through the Holy Spirit, and you look at the needs of what's around you and. And then you tweak your mission and vision into something greater. And one of the things that it was so funny, I think this was about like 14 years ago, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Lord, why am I always needy all the time? I said, I really want to get to the place that you want me to get to where I can help out a whole bunch of people. I said, I know this life is not all about me. And it feels like it is. You know, I have to always be advocating for members of my family, you know, for, with their special needs and their, you know, need in general. And I have to keep a roof over my head at the same time. And also keep my faith alive, you know, because that's without you, I can do nothing. I said, but I said, people are not going to come to me because I'm in so much need and the cross is so great that they're going to run in the other direction. And so, you know, after that, after I, you know, just poured out my heart that one time, the Lord says to me, let your greatest need be the need to help others. And it was, you know, and then he showed me the word seek and then serve. And I, at that point, I was a coordinator for CERN New England, and I was, you know, the Lord was helping me develop seek. So then when we got our board of directors together, finally, it was still, I felt, still underdeveloped, not where I felt that seek should be to go out there full-time ministry. And so I'm like, we got to formulate a school. But in order to do that, I had to say, the Lord was showing me there, he wants everybody on the board to have the same mission and same vision. So when they communicate what seek is or what it's going to be, at least they would have an idea, you know, based on their experience. So we had a good old-fashioned house school somewhere in the Cape, and, you know, for like a period of a year, I think it was, we all met, you know, and we were all taught of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Lord would bring speakers in that, you know, he would just put in our path that could teach what we needed to know about revelation and different things like that, so we can understand more about what we were all about. And there was one time he sent this pastor from Africa, from Kenya, and he was just so gifted in the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, we had some powerful experiences during those times of teaching. And then in 2003, we graduated all members of SEEK. At the time, it was the SEEK Christian Outreach Ministries. Now it's SEEK Christian Teaching and Worship Center. But they were so, the training in phase one, and this phase one alone, the training in phase one was so powerful that everyone felt that empowered enough to go out and start their own ministries. It was so funny. I'm like, Lord, why did you do this? Why did you allow me to train them? I'm thinking I'm going to have their commitment for the rest of my life. And then all of a sudden they feel so empowered that they want to start their own ministries. What's going on? So then he had to call me and my husband to a place of rest and waiting on him. And YouTube had not been developed at that point. And the story about that is that before YouTube got developed, and that's the basis of us establishing our broadcasting network, WSDKI-TV, they had, these young people were just had a party bored. They were bored out of their minds. And they were also techno geniuses. They were so bored out of their minds at the party that they wanted to start a social network with utilizing video, you know. So that's what they did. And they developed a software that would allow people to broadcast in real time, broadcast their life, you know, real time and real life. And it caught on so much that they, you know, that even Google had offered some money for them, and now they're multi-billionaires. So multi-millionaires, I think it's billions, and it's just so funny. They never thought they had done some interviews with them on Oprah, and they never thought they never ever dreamed that it would even come to this. But see, the Lord, you know, you raised them up. I really feel to allow us to have a platform, a venue for our our internet television station. Now we're going to get a TiVo. We didn't even know what TiVo was. And a TiVo, we're going to have a TiVo server and probably within the next 2 months. And we, because we have playlists on our station, we have the ability to upload movies. And, you know, we want to train people to do that in phase one. You know, we want to train them to do ministry through the media. And we're doing it online. This is going to be, it's going to be free. So we are just so excited about that. So so the Lord, you know, gave us that time of rest. And he was, and in that time period, the Lord was like working behind the scenes through the development of YouTube, a platform that he told us to use. And then next thing you know, Facebook comes up, and, you know, and Twitter. And we're in the ministry that he called us to. So it's just so amazing. And I know it's just not just that, because we're you know, I've been called to go out to the nursing homes, to go out to New England Sinai, or both me and my husband. And we do ministry, physical ministry, where we bring communion to the patients. And it's just such a balance what God is doing. He's given us a platform to be able to raise up leaders that are, you know, willing to go out, you know, out on a limb, on, you know, in the multimedia venues, and, you know, especially through social media, using viral marketing. I will be telling you more about that in the School of Ministry. And it's just so amazing the multiplication that he's doing. We say yes to him, you know. We say yes for the little bit, and then it gives us a lot, you know, and things like that. So it's just so awesome what he's doing. And I'll say more about the school and specifically what's going to be happening during those 8 weeks. But I think Jeff wants to say something. You know, I want him to tell you about what his experience was when he was trained up. And we had a wonderful graduation, too. It was just awesome. We had it at the Stoughton Marriott. You know, it fits 50 people. We had praise and worship, and it was just wonderful, laying on the hands and the release of the certificates. And it's just so awesome when you can, you know, award people for, you know, just stepping out in faith and going through a process, you know, that will be with them lifelong. So it's so life-changing. But so, you know, so phase one is primarily establishing a biblical identity and inner transformation, not necessarily in that order. And phase two is more like walking your ministry out, you know, mission and vision. And we do encourage people, you know, in order to be more effective in your call, you have to teach what you've received and who, and based on your frame of reference, who you are as a person, being formed into that new creation that the Lord has made you into. So, you know, that phase two is more like teaching and you know, creating a venue for yourself to be able to, you know, to teach out of the new creation that you've been, you know that you came into. And then, of course, you know, you have to, you know, be willing to create, you know, and put into practice by publishing materials either through, you know, talk radio or through the internet television. And many people that have actually registered for our school are already on YouTube. So that's telling me that they're primed, they're ready. They're already on YouTube, and they are one other person has their own radio station. You've listened to it before. It's 365 Rain Dance Radio and things like that. And I think one other person is actually a workplace chaplain. He's coming in as a workplace chaplain. He's not necessarily taking the classes, but he sponsored some of his own classes to workplace chaplain. So we gave him a place in that. And he was the one that was telling us make the classes free, because you're going to get more of an interest in it will release more of the hand of God to be able to work more deeply in people's hearts. And so I'll tell you more about what our expectations are in this class, which are God's expectations. And Jeff is going to just tell you what his experience has been and how it's made, you know, how it's molded him. Thank you. Sure.
Well, one of the things both Shirley and I have noticed in recent days is things of incomplete transformation. People getting sidetracked in their transformative healing process, and what my initial contact with the school of ministry, was a group of people serious about letting God take hold of them and show them the parts of their mind, heart, and spirit that need to be sanctified and transformed into His likeness. It's all about letting God work within us. And if we claim to have the Holy Spirit in us, then God is ready, and willing to work with you to make you look more like Jesus. And this group of people were all believers. They all had some common denominator where they used to meet as a community in prayer foundation. Each had a personal prayer foundation. And those are, in a nutshell, the requirements for being changed by God. The prerequisites of faith are like what we would call the foundational things of starting your life in the Holy Spirit when you're just coming into the things of faith. And my experience with this group was to I got exposed to myself. I got to see what was working in me, and it wasn't necessarily always evil spirit. It was woundedness, brokenness, and these things around me made both my mindsets and my strongholds made me unwilling to be healed. So the first order of business God had to do was give me individual revelation about myself and how, you know, one item at a time, what He wanted to show me so I could be free. And in the process, He was teaching me how to follow the Holy Spirit, listening, developing listening skills, listening to the Holy Spirit, and not only listening, but discerning what is from myself, what's from God, and what could be works of the enemy trying to resist the work of grace in my life. But all things are possible. No matter what circumstances your life has found you in, God is there, God is ready, God has been supporting you, and He wants you to know that you are loved with an everlasting love that never changes. Even before the world was made, He came, He saw what mankind was going to do to itself, and He planned the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ and living under Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here we're going to go back to Dr. Cheryl. She looks like she's ready to say something.
Oh, you could have said a lot more, Jeff. Yeah, but I know that this is, you know, you can only cram in so much description of an experience. I mean, the fact is, you have to experience it, and maybe keep a journal, because at any given point in your life, you know, you're going to be called upon to give an account of, if you want me to do this, what were your experiences with it, whatever it was, you know, that God called you to. You know, it's always good to write things down, and then you have a complete, you know, wealth of information or of experience, you know, and how, you know, experience of how God touched your life in whatever He called you to do at that given moment. So, I just got a hold of some of my notes from what I taught from when we had our initial class. So we did graduate one class successfully. And I was one of the graduates myself. I put myself through it, too, with everybody else. And our teacher, because our teacher is and always will be the Holy Spirit. So phase one, we all entered this class just asking ourselves, you know, you know, why we're here, okay? And, you know, that was part of the discerning. We had to discern for ourselves, okay? A call to minister when, called to minister, which answers why, called to minister what, and called to be ministry development in how. So, you know, ministry developers, releasing others into ministry, that should be the real goal of why we are called to leadership as Christians. You know, we are we're co-laboring, and we are co-leaders of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I've taught, you know, members in our on our board of directors. We're not leaders in the elite sense, but we're more like co-leaders and co-laborers with the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're working with the Holy Spirit, not against the Holy Spirit, and not against each other, all right? And then he brings us into a closer walk with each other too. But our frame of reference needs to be the Holy Spirit bringing us into all truth. All right. So then, you know, we look. I guess at one point we did have an evangelistic style inventory where we had people, you know, looked at themselves, and they took this inventory that a member of our class brought to class. See, we just didn't have people that were doing rote learning. They were actually in a ministry that they were doing. And, you know, if they had something that would help everyone else, we encouraged it. So it was like there was we were always, like, teaching each other in the Holy Spirit. And it was just one of the best classes that I've ever been, you know, was proud of. It was actually better than some of the classes I took in college. The other thing is we looked at, you know, personality style inventory, and we had a situational leadership style inventory. We looked at these inventories, but what I'm going to be doing is, because I actually started to take a certificate program, and hopefully, well, definitely by October 4th, I should be done with at least two or three courses, maybe even the whole thing. It was phase one in the RMCM School of Ministry. And if you are interested in becoming pastoral counselors, or, you know, you can start from high school and then, you know, you can start that and at the same time join our school of ministry, contact Dr. Bob Mangus, M-A-N-G-U-S. And for those who want to know, you want to contact him on Facebook, he goes by the name of Bob Mangus on the Facebook. He's one of my friends. And you just, you know, become my friend, and then you check, you know, you go to Bob, you scroll down to Bob Mangus, and request him for a friend and ask him about the RMCM School of the Counseling Ministries, the Christian Ministry. Okay, so, you know, they have what you call a temperament. That's what I'm studying right now, temperament theory. And they have an APS survey, which really gets into the temperament of who you are, your inborn temperament, what you were born with, and what makes you tick, and, you know, how you relate to people, and where God wants to take you. And so I feel that all those other inventories that we had done at the beginning, because we didn't know what we were doing, that now we can throw that out, and we could, you know, we could, you know, give this inventory, or, you know, it's a series of 50 questions. And I tell you, the report that you get is so real. I got my report back from my advisor, and I'm telling you, it was so right on. It was so right on. So it gave me a clearer picture as to who I was and where I'm going in the Holy Ghost. So. All right, so then the part one, in the inner transformation part of phase one, we are going to explore in greater detail the importance of forgiveness and what happens when we don't forgive, when we're walking in unforgiveness. And you know, of course, there will be scriptural references and everything. And then, you know, we'll be, you know, talking more about the understanding of true repentance. We'll be looking at godly versus ungodly beliefs, And trying to understand the Jezebel spirit, and, you know, we will be, you know, reading and referring to other leaders' materials that are more knowledgeable in those particular subject areas, and one in general, it will be definitely, and I have used his book in this, in our first class of phase one, and that was, this phase one that we had done with the board of directors was not online. This was like classroom. This was, you know, gatherings and get together. We have fun ones. We always started with a lunch, and it was really great. I missed those, but maybe we can have some kind of twilight gathering where I can actually invite you to a place where we can all connect, you know, a place where there's intimacy in the Holy Ghost, and we can eat and have fun and pray and do different things. But that might, maybe after we have a couple of phase one classes with different people, then we can, you know, probably within like next spring or something, or but we'll pray as we go along. But anyways, the point I was trying to make, yes, understand the Jezebel Bell spirit. We actually used John Paul Jackson's manual in Unmasked, and I actually have DVDs, or no, CDs, they're CDs, and the book. And but we, at that point, we only had the book, and then we even created a test with that book, and I just actually got a hold of that yesterday, so I'm looking forward to using that again, because I think that's very valuable to understand when you finally understand your temperament and where everybody else is at, that, you know, you can...
It makes it easy to understand people.
Yes, exactly. And then we have this book that was by Elijah Hope, How to Minister Out of the Heart of the Father. And that's what we want to do. We want to get to that place from, you know, that we move away from ourselves. But we don't ignore ourselves. We have to, especially if there's negativity there, we need to entrust that part over to the Lord so he can transform us into his image and likeness through the Holy Spirit. But we can't just, like, you know, cover it over. If we do, it has the tendency to shout, and it's going to try to bust, come out at the seams or some weird way. Hold on.
It's like a compost pile. It just keeps burning and burning and burning, even though it keeps getting covered over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Until the lid eventually explodes off, and then you got like an ugly mess. So we want to save those ugly messes from happening and things like that. There's just too much of it happening.
And when they do happen, we want to train people how to walk through.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world when they happen. It's just God saying, it's actually God's finger on it and saying, you got this mess here I've been trying to tell you about for the longest time, and you've been ignoring it. You know, how about now? You know, but then it may be too late. There might be other people telling you more about it, and you know, and it's just, so we want to avoid those things. You know, because we love you. We love, you know, we love what God's doing, you know, with his people, and we don't want anybody to be used as a, you know, as a ridicule tool of the enemy, you know. So so that's that for phase one, and, you know, hopefully people are going to get to that place. Now, we are going to use the Gill Ministry curriculum, which... if you go to gillministries.com, you'll see the books, because that's what I've used myself when we engaged in some independent life learning credits that eventually allowed us to get our doctorates of divinity, bachelor's of divinity, master's of divinity through the Spirit of Truth Institute, and we also were able to, which they're located in Virginia, and we developed our school. It already had been in progress, so we had to write about it and develop a catalog, and so we had gotten accredited as well. So, you know, those are our dear friends, Dr. Paul and Faye Richardson down in Richmond, Virginia. So anyways, so then, you know, in phase one, we had not
actually developed it as a course when we had done it as a board. But what happened was we were already engaged in the media ministry.
And it was also in the process of developing the courses that it was more like hands-on experience of actually doing the courses.
Yeah, doing the courses and deciding what will work and what won't work and what we can do better. And so the media ministry had not been developed in its full fruition, but we were using media to get people to use that as a ministry platform to teach. You know, we had a couple of students on our show at the time that, you know, we aired in public access at our local cable station. We had different facets of God, and we just brought the camera everywhere we went. And we, whatever, if the Lord said, this is a show, let's do it, we'd set up the camera, and it was, we were just so spontaneous in the flow of the Lord, and the Lord just did, you know, he just gave us, you know, what we needed to teach, and it was just really very fruitful and wonderful. And, you know, we let the Lord go ahead of us, and we let him dictate just about everything. We want to say the goal is to eventually have him dictate everything, but sometimes when our human nature gets in the way, it's really hard, you know, to let go. But he's so gentle with us. I mean, he'll tap us on the shoulder. And when I say tap us on the shoulder, you know, some people do get the physical tap, and I've gotten physical taps at different points, and I felt his arms come through the walls. Yes, those are real experiences. But most of the time, when they do say tap on the shoulder, I metaphorically speak it. It's metaphoric. It's like a, you know, what do you call it, a symbol. But, you know, when it's like an encounter. Tap on the shoulder to me is equal to any kind of encounter, whether it be vision, a vision or a dream vision or an impression in spirit.
He knows how to get your attention.
Yeah, it's tapping on the shoulders, get my attention. So, but those things do happen, but you can't always expect that, because God is a God of surprises. He just wants us to know so many aspects of himself in our everyday life, in our everyday ordinary life, that he'll come, he just wants to surprise us, because he knows we have ADD and we need surprises. We have attention deficit disorder, so he always has a remedy for that, I tell you. Anyways, we've got about 30 minutes left. And, of course, we want to get people to come to that place that they are going to hear from God. We're going to talk about the significance of journal writing. And some people are already journal writers. But we're going to expound on that, maybe have people share about the experiences in journal form. And that part will be reserved for Pal Talk. We are actually going to have a live session. We're going to have a lot of videos up there, teaching videos from the Gill Ministries, because we really feel that they do provide a good biblical foundation. And we will be introducing their work. We'll be dubbing in some video that we're doing, and then we'll dovetail over to them. We know with the stipulation that we're not selling their materials or anything, because, you know, they freely have given, and so we, you know, that's what, you know, that's the spirit that we need to do this in. Jeff is just tapping me on the arm. Okay, Jeff, is there any point you want to add?
Well, I wanted to recap about journal writing. And back in 1970, I was in my 20s, and I asked God what he wanted of my life, and he answered me very clearly, one word, married. Several years later, two or three years later, I asked him again, and he said married. But this time he took it a step further, and he imparted to me two dreams. And after each of these dreams, I sat up in bed so fast, like God was causing me to wake up so I could write it down. And I wrote it down. And one of these dreams was very significant about my future. Well, they both were, but one was really descriptive in a symbolic manner about my wife's characteristics, even her external description of her external appearance. And for years, I was just being I became a God chaser. I tried to chase after God to the best of my ability, to get healing, to do what he wanted me to do, and to be where he wanted me to be. And then in that context, we started, Shirley and I were attending the same prayer group. But the thing is, God kept our eyes closed to the fact that the other was the answer to the other's, how God was talking to the other person. And it had its time and season, and then it came out. And a few years ago, the Holy Spirit was leading me. I put my hands on these journals I wrote these experiences in, and I said, "Wow, you are faithful." It took a while, but he is faithful, and journal writing helped God help me to see what he was doing in my life, even though it happened. Well, the answer finally came, but it was years later. It was about 23 years later from that date of experience. And it's good because it helps bring us healing too. And here's Shirley again.
Thank you for sharing that with myself. I like to always be here, either with Jeff Day and Adele. And I'm always there when he tells people, different people that witness. And each time it does encourage me more and more and more that we know we're on track, we're doing what the Lord is calling us to do. And it's just so awesome to just, be right where the Lord wants you. And we're trying to tweak this phase one so that it does what, the Lord wants it to do. And what we are doing, which we didn't do because we didn't have the online component to the school, is that with the ones that become part of Seek International Leadership School and Ministry social networking, you can actually, from time to time, I will be putting the link to that on the Facebook page, and I will be tweeting it too. And you go right there and you sign in, and you do upload your picture and videos that are appropriate. Trying to save video space, especially for the videos that we would use, it's only because it's a free network. If we do get a lot more people connected to the school and a lot more uploads, we're probably going to have to ask for some kind of fee because I would have to buy more space. But right now, we just have about five people that have actually are actually interested and signed on. And what I had done recently, and I had invited a lot more people within the last week through the different groups that we have. At one point we were going to charge tuition, and the Lord said, no. So we had to listen to that, okay? And the thing is, at the end of phase one, if people want, all right, we're going to leave this up to the individual. If you feel confident enough that you want to, first of all, be a workplace chaplain, you can talk to Mike Tamello. He's part of our school ministry as a workplace chaplain. He has a website, there will be a section in phase one about workplace chaplaincy. The other thing is that if you want to be ordained, if you think you feel confident enough to, and I have to say this really, because we're still connected to the Catholic Church, I have to, for the Catholics, use the term commission, and for those who are not Catholic, it's an ordination certificate that we're going to give you the Seek International Leadership School Ministry certificate, along with, we refer you to several places that would release ordination certificates based on reference letters of references, and we can provide a letter of reference and recommendation for you, and then one other pastor that would know you as well, and send that off to either United Christian Ministerial Association
or even a Spirit of Truth Bible Institute. So, you know, we're you know, there's different places that we can forward your materials to your credentials, and you can receive that, and then we can release you into that. Mostly, you know, people have to have a laying of the hands, so you can, you know, actually have somebody where you are, an ordained minister, lay hands on you, and, you know, they can award you the certificate right where you are from, you know, from, you know, we just have to send it to them and things like that. So that is, you know, how we can do it. We're also at some point thinking at some point, if we have more than one phase one, because right now we're stuck on phase one because a lot of people need that phase one. Phase two is more individualistic. It's establishing a curriculum if you want to expand your school. And, you know, then we usually have people working between our school and the Spirit of Truth Bible Institute because they can release accreditation. Because you really do need accreditation for your school to stand. At the same time, okay, many states have the separation of church and state thing going on where you can't, if you have a school, you can't really give credit. You have to be in a certain category to release credit, okay, credits towards a degree. Even though all classes are taught in that kind of manner, they're non-credit classes, but they do lead to a ministry certificate that is valid. Because it's connected to our school, you know, our fellowship, our online fellowship. And, you know, we are a 501c3 as well, so we can take donations. So, you know, we fit the mold there, the model, the cat, whatever, you know, people, you know, the officials are looking at us and they're like, well, they are genuine faith-based initiative. They must have these other things in place. And we do. And then we collaborate with an outreach organization that actually caters to all the other things that a Christian outreach should. Like, at certain way, we're, you know, helping to distribute food that, you know, and make it more available financially for people and encourage them to do community service. And the course where, you know, I've just received a blessing where I have been asked to sit on the board of directors of SERV, you know, next Tuesday, August 4th. And that is something that the Lord has already shown me that was going to happen once we reached a certain phase of ministry. And, you know, the Lord, He's so wonderful with these ideas that He's given me that can be implemented at a drop of a dime. And so it's just going to be awesome to share this with the board of directors. And of course that'll be another platform. That will be a physical platform because they've actually opened up. There's a venue, a coffee house venue that's coming with it that they want to see happen, and they like our ideas. So for those who are wanting to come out to where we are, we will have a physical meeting place at some point. It will be in a warehouse, but the warehouse does accommodate at least 300 people at a time, and we do see that even during the weekdays, we are, you know, probably going to have, you know, allow people to come and do miniature conferences and different things like that. So we are looking forward to this, and I'm just so excited. But that's one of the reasons what's motivating me with the school, because we turn out people that can, you know, that have these giftings in this area and, you know, and want, you know, and have the desire for the Lord to work deeper in their lives, they could, you know, come and help out, you know, at some point. So we're just so amazing what God's doing. It's so funny. Whenever the Lord has sent me to different places, you know, because of his Holy Spirit moving, and he wanted me to receive, like, the Toronto School of Ministry. I love them dearly, and I did. I'm telling you, those 30 days of their leadership school has formed me, and I just haven't stopped growing. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to purchasing John Paul Jackson's that 101 intensive, and I do hear from the Lord, but we can always hear from the Lord more. You know, the art of hearing God is an art. And from what I see on the website and the different things he wants to cover, those are very interesting subjects, the subject areas there. And the only thing is it's a little, right now too pricey for me, but I know at some point I'll be able to purchase it. It's something like $220 if it's a couple, or $220 for an individual, and if it's a couple, it's something like $350 because of the workbook and things like that. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, you know, I think it's probably worth even more money than that, but I don't want to, you know, you don't want to let money stop you. At the same time, there's always a season where God wants you. If the money comes in another season, that means that's the season that the Lord wants you to take these things. But the Lord is showing me online is different, because online you have, there's a lot of people in these economic times that cannot even afford the $200, can't even afford the $25. But if they're working on towards something and it's in their heart, you know, they will pay if they want, you know, for the actual credential. So, but they want to be developed. They want to know, you know, they want to walk through kinds of instruction and things like that. So that's what we have for them. The Guild Ministry has free audios of all the curriculum that we want to teach, the DVDs, which is their DVD. So we figured that we'd give a head start right now in the season where we're all preparing for the fall harvest. That you know, if you want to get an idea as to what the DVD would be about, I don't know if it's exactly the same kind of teaching, but all the subject areas that we'll be covering under establishing a biblical identity. You can get that on audio. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why do you want them to get this on audio as well in the spirit? And he said, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And there's a lot of the word of God going out in these audio, okay? And it's going to set the foundation, the biblical ground, to receive what's in those DVDs and what we have to offer to, between the DVDs and the journal writing and preaching from and teaching from our own experience of ministry development, okay? There's also going to be a technical part, too. We're going to teach people, probably within the last week or two, how to, what's out there, what's the easiest blogs to write, how to write a blog that will accommodate your ministry and media. How to copy and paste HTML codes and where to put them, and how to set up your radio station. Hold on for a second here.
Yeah. And if you know all that, then you'll be way ahead of the game.
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of this, a lot of reasons why people, they get frustrated in the multimedia venues is because they don't know the language, first of all, of the, what I call it, techno babble. They don't know that. And they're just kind of going through it, chaotically. But we had the luxury of actually having a person that was very skilled in not only the technological babble, but the, he knew about what makes a computer work. So, that was just God's way of showing us that he's providing. This person had been with us in ministry since he was 14, before my husband came into the picture. I was his parents and himself were working with being serving the people. And then I found out that there was this budding computer genius right under my nose named Billy. So at some point he'll come back in this picture. I think he's just taking some time off to actually do other people's computers for them. He's so gifted in that area. So we actually released him and his business. He has Seek. What's his computer business?
Seek Tech Support.
Yeah, Seek Tech Support. And so we released the Seek part to him. Said, you can use our
business, to help establish your business, our business name, and you can create your own line of computers if you want, but of course, apparently you need an A-plus certificate for that. But anyway, and he's doing it. You know, he's been, his services have been requested by different ministers, and they were in a bind, and he's actually brought them out of bind. And I mean, we were there to witness it. It's just wonderful what God does. So he was one of he helped us even with the school of ministry too. I just remember that. So, you know, but he was coming from a technical aspect, and maybe at some point we can have him on to teach about. He was developing a class, so this would be wonderful to have him come on there too. So, you know, we'll be able to teach also about how, you know, about the different terms you would need to know about lighting when you're doing video work, if you choose to do that, you know, the difference between wide shots and, you know, when it comes to the camera and, you know, what the best angle is, you know, when you're shooting a subject and, you know. So you can know at least those terms and what's the difference between an A roll and a B roll and different things like that. And for those who want to do things and like script writing, we won't get into it all the way, but we can let you know what the options are. We can get some free software, who to connect with, and different things like that. And we have about 11 minutes left remaining in the show. So that's basically what we will do in phase one. But the good thing about phase one is that you can leave, you know, more polished than you actually were before, and with a certificate and with a direction. And then we can refer you to other ministries that can allow you to go even deeper. And then we have curriculum planning and placement where, you know, you want to, this is phase two. And that's not what's going to be in these 8 weeks, but this is something that we are going to do in the future. We're going to do something similar, but we got to look, we're choosing the curriculums, and we're also developing our own. I'm in the process of writing the book for phases of ministry development, so we can have a manual and people can download it in PDF format, and it will help you establish your own curriculums for your own schools and or just classes. So to establish a curriculum in order to prepare students to respond to the needs of the body of Christ, both in church and or in community-based ministries, and we will examine three phases of curriculum development, making adjustments and modifications to curriculum components via prayer, research, analysis, and process, or focusing in on the teaching needs of the body of Christ, utilizing existing resources. And during this time, because I am a grant writer, I will also be teaching on how to have access to grant writing places where we belong to AGM Connect, and they make it available to us, the resources. They let us know where the grants are, what the deadlines are, and we have access to a data bank and things like that. And so we will be talking more about that. And so, you know, some people need, for certain projects, need things funded. So, but there's a way to make it work. A lot of these places, they don't help out faith-based agencies, but then or ministries, but then others do, or they lead you to a place that's like a third party where they would release these funds, but you have to go through, you know, a couple of doors to get to that point. So we have about 9 minutes left, and then let's see. So we will, you know, teach you more about how prayer can lead you to the body of research and information, and how to analyze the materials as they come in, what to throw out, and what to keep. Then phase three is the purpose, process, and planning. You're setting your goal and objective. You're creating, you're developing, and expanding your current ministry and process.
this is where you will also learn in phase three, how to develop as a nonprofit ministry, and you'll be examining our articles of organization, our purpose, vision, and mission statement, and we do have policy, procedures, and bylaws, and we do have a ministerial accountability guidelines that every 4 or 5 years we upgrade and update. I think every ministry should do that in order to keep their focus, on the state level and on the federal level. I mean, basically, if you are a church, there was somebody that wrote to me and they said, well, if you're a church, then you don't really need to do all that, but you do, because they can ask you at any given point, can I see your records? What do you do and how do you do it? And our ministry is always changing all the time to where the Lord wants it to go. And so I had to, you have like what you call a 990 form if you're bringing in funds over 25,000, but if you're under 25,000 like we are right now, all we need to do is write the IRS a letter under our 501c3 number, our EIN number, and let them know what the activity is of the ministry. That's all, And so I love to do that because I already have that information. And so it's just really wonderful. And I put my little I put my websites down and blog sites so that it all speaks for itself. So that's a wonderful thing. And then the phase four is the mentoring, the walking out. Although in phase one we do a little bit of mentoring, we kind of refer people to other people's ministry to they want further development and like maybe dream analysis or hearing the voice of God. We do phase one refer people to Mark Berkler's ministry. He does communion with God. And then we are going to do something with the Apostics, and that's a prayer ministry that it helps people through the healing of painful memories and different things like that. So we kind of like phase one, two, and three, and four. They all interact on it, from elementary level to a more intricate detail all the time. But, to actually break it down and teach the different phases and bring people to those places, okay, you're actually, going to walk out with a wonderful, well-rounded idea of what it is really like to, to run a ministry. And ministry starts from the heart, but, when it goes outside, from the inside to outside, when it's released, you have to deal with these other things that come about. But the thing is, if you deal with it, and follow those guidelines, you can really save yourself a whole lot of problems. Ministry is caught and it's not taught, but there's also some common sense things as you're interacting with, the governments and the different things like that. People like to see this overseas. They like to see things in place. It brings a greater credibility when there's some kind of order and process in it. And you can kind of go to certain parts of the phases. We can look at a person's ministry because of this, and we can see exactly where they need to go. We can see where they are and where they need to go, where they are with them, where the leader is with themselves individually, and especially with the Lord, what's stopping them from going further, and then what they need to do to, communicate their ministry to a larger number of people. Although, really, it should be, when I look at this four-phase ministry development, I look more like at if it's just one person in front of you, what would I want to say to them? How would I want to teach that one person? So it's more like, it's not like a group of people at a time, it's one person at a time. Even one person signed up for SEEK, International Leadership Online School of Multimedia Ministry, they would benefit. They would be much better from themselves.
Yes, they would, and it's an incredible experience of letting God change you.
Exactly. So, You know, we're looking at, we're approaching the 3-minute mark, and you know, before these three minutes go, you know, my husband and I had the luxury of watching a movie called Anchorman, and it was on cable.
It's a new release. It just got out there this year. And it's wonderful how the author is evolving this story about people's need for God.
Yes, and he wrote this. It was all centered around this author's perception of who God was. And it was me and God. And we found out that it was because he had an internal struggle because his father, you know, was wasting away with Alzheimer's, and his father was this wonderful person, and you know, who he was so close to. And at the same time, he was writing all these books about God, and everybody thought that this person actually did talk to God, and he was actually angry at God, and where a lot of people start from. But because of that anger, he somehow tapped into the Lord, and God began to show him all these things. But you know, but he didn't believe he was the writer, but he didn't really believe it. And it was just to help him get through
the trauma of his dad's illness,
and which led to death.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was the way that the movie started, he was already going through that meltdown process, and you know, a real back injury, and he wrote all these wonderful books that meant nothing to him. Matter of fact, it got to the point that he didn't want them in his house. He was reading everybody else's books and their concepts of God, and you know, he was really miserable until the Lord put the right lady in his path. And then he put the situation where this young man was struggling with alcohol, who was actually the person that he wanted to give these books to for his used bookstore. And, you know, and he just put a hold on his life until he can understand more about the meaning of God. And he felt like he was a phony, and he didn't want anybody to know, you know, that, you know, he was doing this out of his own hurt. And that's where a lot of us start from, an our journey with the Lord, but we don't always have to end up there. So, you know, so we're at the end of our show. We got about 1 minute left, 90 seconds. But we urge you, you know, to on Blog Talk Radio, we have a link that goes directly to our school. It's like that red box says join us. If you click on there, it comes right to our social networking page for the school ministry. And, you know, and it's just, you know, and just embark on a journey. It's going to really be wonderful for us. We're going to use Pal Talk as a way to communicate one-on-one audio and video. We will have live sessions, too. And we're just looking forward to it. It starts October 4th, and it goes to December 7th. And if we need to extend that, we'll be open to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Well, God bless you. We love you, and we are looking forward to having you sign on if you want. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.